When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. And sometimes, when the digital gods are smiling on us,
occasionally,
the YouTubes. Just not
today yet. I wore a Blazer shirt today, too. I was ready to go.
Yeah, we kind of caught some grief on our Monday show because we both ended up wearing Blazer gear.
Yeah.
So we probably look like little fanboy.
Let's
little
go fanboy. Blazers! Rip City!
The pinwheel's dope. What do you want from me? I live in the city.
I actually don't own that much Blazer gear.
I don't either.
It's one of those, like,
I'm shocked I don't have a Blazer dad hat, because I have dad hats. I just don't have a Blazer one.
No dad hat. I only have two Blazer shirts. Neither of them I really like.
I only have one.
To be honest with you.
It's a long sleeve shirt, and it's got the Jack Ramsey's checkered
plaid.
Plaid on the Rip City.
Rip City. It's a great look. I love that shirt.
I love the shirt, but it's long sleeve, so I don't wear it unless it's largely colder weather. So.
I'm looking over at Brandon this morning. He's got an awesome Blazer shirt on. Like, that's a good look right there.
That's a good look.
I like the cursive trailblazer over the pinwheel, the red, the white. That's a clean look.
What would we think, or how would we react if Tom Dundon thought it was cost-saving to eliminate the white on the pinwheel and just keep it a whole red pinwheel?
That was one of the things.
Or to eliminate half the pinwheel and be like, it actually saves us $18.99 a year if we just do half the pinwheel.
Actually, and all the colors on our t-shirts, you know how much money we're going to save? Patrick informed us of the Reddit threads that were going on yesterday.
Oh, dude, I jumped on it yesterday.
I took a few minutes to scroll. It's hilarious. And one of them was, on that point, the logo. It was just basically a red block and a black block. And it said, in a cost-cutting move, Tom Dundon's new Blazer logo.
It can't be curved.
This is what it's going to look like.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the radio program. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is a Tuesday. So you know what that means. It's time for the
Mail Sack.
Oh, I love when he does that.
Fire him up.
503-864-6326. The Mail Sack. If you're new to the radio program, good morning. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, everybody.
I'm Sprague. That's Dirt. We do it backwards than the show name. It's called Dirt and Sprague.
And then we flip-flop in the back half of the show. None of it really makes any sense, to be honest.
None of it does. It's just a show name. Yeah. You know, that's all you need to know.
It is what it is.
But we'll do the Mail Sack. The Mail Sack is basically an open-ended Ask Us Anything forum. And you could text it in. You could put it in on the Twitter machine.
Yes, you could do it on the Twitter machine.
When we're on YouTube, you can put it up on the YouTube chat. And we usually get to that in the final hour. Any and all questions are always welcome at 503-864-6326. Before we get off and rolling, I want to remind you guys that on June 23rd, Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Foursomes on sale now between the morning and the afternoon round. Hurry up. The groups both fill up pretty fast. We'll be hanging out at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3, sixth hole. We'll all be there. Us, Danny and Patrick, Luke, Isaac and Suk, Dusty will be hanging out. You can keep us, we'll be heckling your shots, admiring your shots, you name it, we'll be doing it. And everybody gets to eat Matt's barbecue, which is just delightful and perfect. And you can head to 1051thefan.com, click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info to sign up today. The Fan Golf Classic is presented by Toyota. It's also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McQuaid, Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, E-Legal Mezcal, and Window Nation. Speaking of which, we need to think of our poll question.
Yes, I already put one up.
Oh, you put it up?
The poll question has been posted.
Oh, okay.
I have the read, too, if you would like me to do the read.
I got the read.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'll just read the poll question, too. I didn't know you had posted it.
So I didn't put the whole read in there, but it is your neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day, and they bring it to you every day, and they bring you dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandio's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Laurelhurst Market Steakhouse.
Yeah, and the question is, how does Game 2 go tonight in San Antonio? Spurs are favored by 11.5 over Portland. Spurs win and cover. Spurs win. Blazers cover.
Hey.
Blazers win outright.
Woo-hoo, juicy. I already voted. Already cast my vote. I'm barking tonight. I don't know about an outright win.
You barking money line?
I don't have the balls to do the money line bet.
I'll do the money line bet.
But I do have the balls to do a plus. They were close last game. I think they cover the number two. The line is exactly the same from game one.
Yeah, Brandon, you might like this. By the way, two Brandons on the show now.
Yeah. Brandon and Andy is the new name of the show.
Yeah. You might enjoy this tweet. One of our listeners says, there's no YouTube again today. Is Swag back?
No, it's not.
So at least your reputation is not that you're not the YouTube.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. You don't have that one hanging over
your
shoulder.
I have that cover at least.
We'll just blame Swag. He's not here. Let's just blame him.
Yeah, dude, what the hell? Swigard, you got bigger things to worry about right now? Come on, get YouTube working.
What are we doing, man? We're the priority here.
Yes.
All right? Not your dad. It's us.
Come on.
Yeah, I'll bark. I mean, why not? It's not like I'm going in with this idea that they're, you know, I'm that confident. It's just, it's a series, and I think they're feisty. And if you tell me
points,
that
man.
Wemby's not 5 of 6 from three, yeah. And a couple Blazers play better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't they, man? They were within two in the third quarter late. They came back multiple times. It's just a game of runs, so... If you don't shoot 26% from three, instead you shoot like 37 or 40%. You have one of those kind of nights.
Right.
That's what I said going into the series. If they have one of those nights, I think they can absolutely win a game, if not push to take this series to six. I still think San Antonio's better. I don't think that's a hot take. They were 20 games better than you.
No.
They have the best player in the series. They have the defensive player of the year in the series.
Unanimous.
Unanimous. First one ever and youngest one ever. And so, yeah, I think they can win a game. I'll sprinkle some on the money line Blazers.
Yeah, I don't know if I can go that far tonight. I agree, though, with everything else, just because of how close it was last game. And you had a lot of guys who didn't really play that well. And it was still a, 13? Is that what they ended up losing by? 13-point
loss. By 13, yeah.
I think it's hard to ask for more from Denny because he was so terrific. And he did it away from the free throw line, which was wildly impressive. Driving, you know, turning around, little, you know, 10-foot fadeaways and that kind of stuff. I thought he played outstanding in game one. So I'm not going to ask for more out of him in game two. But I do think this is a pretty reasonable bounce back spot for, and I know Drew wasn't terrible in every aspect of the game, but he shot the ball horribly. I think he's going to have a better night there. I thought Jeremy Grant was pretty useless the entire game. They tried to put him on Wemby. Nobody can guard Wemby, so I'm not going to criticize him for that, but he was turning the ball over. He was a non-impact on the offensive end.
I'll give you a hot take. So I thought he's their worst player. Donovan was, I thought, dude, you're Jeremy
You can
Jeremy
make an
Grant.
Argument. You should be ready for this. You were one of the guys that we said had playoff experience, and that's going to help you tremendously. And so I think both those guys have better games, and I don't know if it's enough to win, but to give me 11.5 points, you can hang within 10 points.
So let me ask you this question, thinking about game two, thinking about the series. By the way, Quick wrote an article, and there is a blurb in here. I said 8 o'clock. I might get to this in the second hour. There's a blurb in here that I don't want to make the show the entire same show as yesterday and, you know, Tom Dunnan's cheap. But yeah, Tommy Two Nickels is a great nickname.
How cheap is he?
Well,
it's like turning into a stand-up bit.
He's super cheap, and we'll tell you. But Quick wrote a pretty good sourced story, and there's a blurb in here that has stuck out like a sore thumb given the narrative around old Tommy D.
Sometimes you just got to take a deep breath and take everything with a grain of salt, man.
And is he Tommy Two Nickels? Yeah, we know that.
In a lot of ways he is, yes.
There's one area that he's been, we've just said it as fact, and I want to read it, so we'll get to that in the second hour of the program. Who tonight for you guys? I'll have to get your take on this, Brandon. Don't worry about the YouTube's broken. It's just
it is. It is. Right?
I keep checking.
Keep reloading.
Give up the dream.
Trying to be a good producer over here.
Let's do this. Do we have a baseball bat in here? Let's just really set things on fire.
Can we go Office Space on that thing? Take the printer out back?
The day after a playoff game, we're not on YouTube until well into the third hour of the show. the day of a playoff game, not on YouTube. So just the worst possible timing. Let's just break everything with a baseball bat. Now, that being said, for both of you guys tonight, if they're to do the upset, if they're to win the game, I just bet it.
Pull off the upset.
Plus 470 on the old money line.
Decent odds.
Okay. Wow. Now, I'm a cheapskate. I did a $3 bet, so I win $17.
Hey,
you're 17? Tom Dundon?
I am the Tom Dundon of sports betting.
you're the Sprague Two Nickels of the DraftKings app? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. If you checked my history, yeah, you'd be like, that's all you bet? Like, yeah, dude. Yeah. I like to keep the money in the account.
That's right.
Who is, if they're to pull the upset, who is the second best player? Who is the player that needs to be the second best player from a production standpoint to you guys if they're going to pull off a road upset and tie the series?
Go ahead, Brandon. Do you want to answer first?
My first thought was Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
But then I went Donovan Klingon.
Donovan Klingon.
He's got to have one game in this series where he's been all year long, dominating the boards, being a presence in the paint, giving Wemby some trouble, being physical like they've been talking about the last 2 days. I just think he's got to have a moment where he is Kling Kong that we've been watching all year. And if any time, tonight would be a great night for that.
I think it's a big one for him because he was so bad in game one. They desperately need him to play better.
Now, I'm assuming with both you guys, not that Donovan is your pick, Dirt, but with you and Brandon saying this, I'm assuming that when you say that, it's 2 to 3 to 4 blocked shots in the game.
Yeah, impacting the paint.
5 offensive rebounds at a minimum because he averages like 4.5. He led the league in offensive rebounds.
They're also going to leave him wide open all game from 3. And I'm not asking you to make 5 of 7. I'm asking you to go 2 of 5.
So what's the points for Donovan Klingon with the all-around performance?
I just need a presence and a double-double.
Yes.
Okay.
Get the boards.
It was 4 points and 7 rebounds in game 1.
Yeah, contribute your second chances. Get the boards.
Yep.
Just deliver a double-double that you've had almost 40 in the season.
Yep.
Just be who you've been all year. And I think we have a shot.
Yeah, and I to that point, too, like it's not necessarily just the point total because 4 is it needs to be more than that. 7 rebounds is what stood out to me. And I know he only ended up playing 22 minutes, so it wasn't a ton. But 7 rebounds is not a huge number for your starting center. And he's also, did he end the year as the top offensive rebound guy in the NBA?
He led the league in offensive rebounds.
How many offensive rebounds did he have in game 1?
Did he have? He only had one?
One offensive rebound. So to Brandon's point, like those are little things. Like it's not going to be him going for 25, but can you block 2 shots, grab 4 or 5 offensive boards that create second chance points?
Which is huge for them.
He had a couple of big dunks. I think those were his only 4 points. He had 2 nice dunks, so he's always good for a couple of those a game.
Yeah.
And then knock down 1 or 2 threes when they leave you open. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that being the answer. I'll go elsewhere though, and I'll go off the bench because I think you're just going to need. I imagine the starting lineup will stay the same. Like maybe that changes and Grant's in and Scoot's out, but I thought Scoot played pretty good. So I would go with somebody off the bench that you need to have a scoring punch, and it would be Shaedon Sharpe. Shaedon Sharpe
needs to be the second best player for them tonight. Huh?
I think not like necessarily in a totality of like defensively what he's going to do, but in terms of like somebody being a threat to score the ball and knock down a couple of shots and be aggressive and don't turtle in big, like I look at Shaedon Sharpe as a guy off the bench who you're going to need to have a big game offensively.
Yeah, Shaden's an interesting one because I actually thought he played really well in the first half. I texted to you. Like, I actually thought he should have been more aggressive looking for his shot.
Yeah.
And
second half wasn't great for him, but first half he was making moves.
Well, say what you want about Shaedon and Scoot, and it's been a lightning rod of conversation for people for 2 seasons now. I didn't feel like either one felt overwhelmed by the moment.
Not at all.
I actually thought both of them didn't relatively care. If anything, it felt like Scoot's energy was already increased because of the moment.
He's a PTPer. He's got that in him a little bit.
He's a diaper dandy.
Yes, he is.
Now, we need to continue to watch that diaper grow, but
we need more PTs throughout the night.
We do.
Not enough primetime games, but I feel like he shows up in bigger moments.
And then Shaedon, like, I just didn't think he just didn't make his shots in the second half, and it kind of got away from him a little bit. I also would like to see the minutes be more in the 27 range. Personally,
yes.
I don't know if that's a minutes
agreed
restriction thing. I'm not going to pretend to know, but I thought Shaedon was totally fine. Like, we went through the plus-minus stuff, and that doesn't always, for me as a Hoops fan, I've felt like sometimes that analytic is overused. That was a game where I think some of their plus-minuses, Denny's was a minus 12.
Yes.
That's because of who was out there not playing well.
Not fully accurate.
But, like, if you look at Rob Will, I think he's a +3, right?
That plus three.
Yep, that's how it felt when I watched
Shaedon
him play.
+9.
+9. Yep. And I thought Shaedon was good for them. I just didn't think he shot the ball particularly well in the second half. So, Scoot and Shaedon, to me, I was almost a little surprised how little they cared about a playoff stage on the road on NBC. When I think about them trying, like, you know, getting to a point of winning outright and evening the series, Donovan's a great one because you need to feel that presence. It makes it another threat for Wemby, even though he's not going to stop Wemby.
A couple of hard fouls would be nice, too, for being honest.
Well,
yeah, you need that in the playoffs. Like, you, like, hammer somebody if they're coming to the hoop.
I like your pick of Shaden. I need to Tamani Kamara has to score more than eight.
Yeah.
Tamani Kamara, to me, if they're to win that game, has 17 or more. If Tamani Kamara gives you that, paired with what he's doing defensively, dude, like, I think they could definitely come to Portland for Friday with a tied series. It's a tall task, there's no doubt.
Yes, it is.
And that's a damn good team. But I know Tamani is guarding Wemby, and I know that task isn't easy in itself.
No, it's tiring on the other end.
But you got to be more productive. If you have a chance in this series, you have to have him, Jeremy, Drew. Like, those guys have to shoot the ball well. This can't just be, well, Denny scored 40 yesterday and they won. Yeah. It's certainly possible that you have one of those games.
Sure.
But not likely in my mind.
Yeah, it felt that way at times in the first half where you're like, dude, Denny's going to have to go for 50 to have a chance tonight. He was everything for them early in that game. And it evened out a little bit in the second half, and other guys had, you know, Scoot ended up having a decent game. The nice thing about Kamara is that he's been streaky. And so if he has a couple of these clunkers, he was not great in Phoenix in the play-in game. Was not great offensively in game 1 against San Antonio. It almost tells me that he's due a little bit. Like, this could be a game where he comes out and he goes 6 of 8 from 3, and you say, all right, there it was. Because he's done that a ton in the second half of the year, where he has these out-of-nowhere 30-point games because he just can't miss, and he's walking ball of fire. If you get one of those games tonight from him, you're going to have a great chance to pull off an upset. The likely answer, though, the most realistic answer, is you need a little bit of all of this. Like, you need Klingon to play better. You need Shane to shoot the ball a little bit better. You need Kamara to be an impact offensively. And for Scoot, like, the turnovers are just going to come with Scoot. Go do what you did. Don't let him impact you. And I would say to Tiago, don't let it impact the rotation. Like, he's going to have a couple of turnovers here or there. We don't sit Jeremy down the second he drives in, throws it to nobody, and San Antonio gets a transition dunk the other way.
Yeah.
But Scoot has two turnovers, and it's like, get him out. It's like, he was your second best offensive player.
He was
one of the better players in your lineup, and you just kind of gave up on him in random moments. So I want to see both those guys. Rob Will and Klingon will be an interesting matchup in terms of minutes the entire series. If Klingon doesn't play better, I have no issue making Rob Will the primary minute center, but for Shaden to only play, what did he end up
22.
Playing 22 and Scoot playing 27, let's get that to 25 and 30 tonight, and I would love that as a fan.
What do you think? Who is the player, if they're to pull an upset on the road tonight against the Spurs, who is the player for you? 503-864-6326. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. We roll on Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your finances. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
You see Jaden McDaniels just straight up call the Nuggets bad defenders last night?
Ooh, buddy. Talk about getting spicy.
I'd say this about the NBA, man. There's a lot of bad narratives about the NBA. And it's largely from people who don't watch the NBA.
Yes, who don't pay attention all year.
They've had an opinion on the NBA since Allen Iverson wore shorts down to his ankles, and they've been like, no, I'm out.
It's all this rap music.
It's the competitive juices in that sport in the playoffs have been fantastic.
Yes, they have.
And even with large deficits, it's never over. To your point of betting Minnesota down 19, like, you could just as easily have a 15-point swing the next quarter.
Should have done it for Atlanta. They were down by nearly double digits halfway through the fourth quarter. You would have got great odds on the money line there. I just didn't jump at it.
they're friends, but they're not friends. Like, people act like they're all on the banana boat together when it was like three guys in a photograph who grew up together. When you get players just openly calling out the other team's players, Jamal, Jokic.
Yes, CJ did this with Brunson after the game.
I love it. It adds so much more interest. We need this.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want anybody to get hurt, like, sincerely.
No.
But if you give me a little bit of a tough foul with Klinger on Wemby, and then you get a little bit of a push from a Castle, pushing his ex-teammate from college to defend his new teammate.
Now we're talking.
Dude.
Now we're talking.
Give it to me. That's what we need tonight. Yeah. I think there's already, you're always like that close. You're right up to the line of getting that in a series. And we saw Atlanta, New York cross that line. We'll see if Houston, L.A. also cross that line tomorrow, because I don't know if Kevin Durant's going to play.
Right.
And then now you have Minnesota, Denver, where Jaden McDaniels is like, yeah, they suck on defense, dude. Just go at them. They're terrible.
It's funny because it's not like nobody's asking for anybody to get purposely injured or to take somebody's knee out. Or like that's not what realistically a team is going to do. But when you go back and watch game one, and you brought it up yesterday on the show, like the opening play of the game, the opening possession, you get Denny driving, and you get Wemby just landing on top of him.
How is that?
That's your best player who's getting landed on by somebody who's 7'4". That can't feel good. And how many times did Wemby do that to guys throughout the course of the game?
Right.
It was like four. They finally broke Shaden in half at one point. You're like, dude, he's going like praying mantis. His arms, his legs are going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Like at some point, there's got to be a reaction to that when you're putting our players in jeopardy by flying through the air. And if you're not going to call it, that's fine. We're going to go to street justice now at this point. And the next time you go up for a dunk, there's going to be a hard foul, even if there's pushing and shoving that goes on. And so I think this series, based on some of the stuff that happened, some of the moments in the game, you could tell Portland was pretty frustrated by some of those no calls against Wemby when he was landing on top of people. I think tonight could get a little feisty. Not to mention just the desperation you feel in a game, too. Like, the series isn't over if you go down 0-2, but the chances of winning it decrease exponentially.
Beating them four times in the final five games.
It's not easy to do. And they were 20 wins better, and they got Wemby, and the series is essentially over if you lose tonight. But if you, like, I just think that fire will come out. Game one's game one. Let's feel it out, see where we're at. Game two, I think it'll be a little more spicy tonight.
Yeah, I'm all in on the spice, man. Bring the spice to my life tonight. Yeah.
Go take somebody out, all right?
What are we going to think tomorrow if they lose by 20? Like, if they just get blown out?
I mean,
out?
I'm not surprised. I know.
We're not surprised. But, like, no. What's just the...
I think it'll be
a... Going into Friday's our first home playoff game, in my mind, really, since 2019. I'm not counting 2021.
No. I think you can still win on Friday and still be feeling good. Like, if you come out, shoot the lights out of the ball, like, I still don't think you're going to win the series, but you could easily win that game, and then all of a sudden you got juice on game four. The spot you don't want to be in is getting blown out tonight and then losing game three on Friday. That would suck.
Oof.
Because then you're just like, all right, that was
Guess you'll be at game four for Sunday.
And then we go, the tickets will come down.
My whole family might be at that game.
Yeah, you guys want to get it for $10? You can do it. Let's go. Watch the Blazers.
Might take my mom. She knows nothing about basketball. I'm like, it's so loud in here.
Yeah, if it's 3-0, those ticket prices are going to drop like a rock.
Are you kidding me?
They're going to fall like
getting a stone. In that building for $40. Yes, let's go.
Yeah, it could benefit some people. It's like the Jailblazer era. Tickets were cheap.
It is a Mail Sack Tuesday.
Mail Sack.
So get your Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We got some NFL dealings to get to. I'm going to stick on the Blazers. We'll pivot out of the preview stuff. We can get to that in the final hour as well after the Mail Sack. So Jason Quick wrote an article, and we thought we wouldn't get to it till the 8. We've perused enough.
We've read through the entire thing.
I've read through the whole thing, so I want to address some of the things in this article because Quick has, man, he has sourced himself out and written an article about Tom Dundon being cheap. And I think a couple things are very important to read. I think we would be responsible on-air hosts by doing so.
Yes, we would.
So we will do that coming up next.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes.
Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How about this breaking news to pass along? The decision has been made. Yes, yes indeed. Audie Crooks is headed to OSU.
I just saw this news yesterday.
Oh, damn it.
I did, yeah.
Black and orange OSU.
It is a black and orange OSU. You're the only ones.
Oh, some call us Midwest OSU. She's going to Oklahoma State for $1.4 million. That will be more than any WNBA rookie salary.
Still genuinely bummed she's not going to be in Eugene. Where's Phil Knight when you need him?
She's wearing
pay
the proper
up.
Colors.
Come
she
on.
Knows.
Get her in some green and yellow.
She knows she looks black, is slimming. She it's looks funny. Great in the jersey. You know how this goes.
You bring up the, yeah, you got, I mean, that's true. I wore a black t-shirt last week and everybody asked me what I was doing to diet. And I'm like, I gained 10 pounds. I don't know what you're talking about, but it just makes you look like you're skinny. So don't blame her at all for that approach. Oregon has black uniforms. Okay. We wear black quite often.
Nah, not like
we've
them.
Embraced it as one of our colors now. Not so like come them. On over, Audie. But your boy, of her making that much money in college as opposed to WNBA. This happened. There was a great story that came out. Feldman, somebody wrote it on The Athletic, and it was talking to quarterbacks who were in their rookie deals who made a lot of money in college.
I just read this. This was Notre Dame quarterback.
Riley Leonard
took
like,
a pay
cut.
I made more at Notre Dame than I did last year with the Colts.
And so did Will Howard at Ohio State. Both of them were like, yeah, dude, our last year in college was really good, and we had to take a pay cut to come to the NFL.
I love that. I love that players may stay in college one more year just to make more money than
so it's not just a WNBA thing. It also happens to NFL quarterbacks.
I'd imagine this happens in some power baseball schools.
I would imagine
basketball
too.
Even. Yeah.
Like Caleb Love had to have made more his last year at Arizona than he did in his
Definitely.
Rookie two-way contract.
Absolutely.
He's not even traveling, too. What the hell's up with that?
So we're talking about the Blazers. We'll see what they do game two. We'll get into that in the final hour. Jason Quick has written a piece.
Yes, he has.
For The Athletic.
And, whenever he does, you got to check it out.
Quick is a good friend of the radio program. He's got some interesting stuff in here. So this is going through NBA owner Tom Dundon and the cheap narrative stuff, and it's certainly been loud, right? Like, felt like half our show yesterday was, are you worried or not worried? And
to your point, it has now overshadowed them being in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. It's the bigger story for the majority of the fan base for people right now.
It's not for me personally.
No.
I'm still more interested in the game stuff, but yeah, from a narrative standpoint, there's you cannot doubt that anymore. So there's a lot to get through with this. I guess I'll just start with the obvious one. So on the checking out of the hotel early thing.
Yes.
So it turns out a masseuse of the team was one of the staffers forced to check out at 12:30 p.m.
Yes.
This concerned Tiago Splitter, who then called a confidant to basically say, you know, what if she does a bad job rubbing Denny's thighs and it impacts our game tonight?
She's going to be upset about having to check out, and now she might not give the needed massage.
And I guess the team internally, because when Dundon took it over, he basically sent a memo to all the managers within the org and was like, why are we wasting money?
Yes.
And it was a directive of, can you save us money? So one of those things was they made certain staffers check out early than normal. And one of those was a masseuse, to which that impacted Tiago Splitter's thoughts and feelings of the day of a game. They calculated it internally, and I know this is going to be nothing to most people because he's a billionaire.
Yes, he is.
They calculated that the early checkout stuff will actually save the team $1 million. And while that sounds like nothing to most people, given the circumstance,
yes,
it should be noted in the story that somebody basically says that $1 million for Dundon is something that he probably views as something he can use for the players.
To the betterment of the team.
Now, you can argue if that's true or not true, because I'm sure people are today going to read this and then go, oh, look, everybody's defending Dundon now. And it's like, well, yeah, what's everybody done for like the last week? It's
yes.
Kill Dundon for being cheap. God forbid we have both sides of the narratives out, right?
Right.
So that was that part. On the coaching element, now this is interesting to me.
This has been the biggest concern, I think, that's rational based on what has been reported of, are you really going to spend $80,000 on a junior college head coach?
Right, because the t-shirt thing doesn't actually impact basketball.
Not at all.
It shouldn't impact any fan going to the game either. Your energy for Friday or Sunday's game is dictated on getting a free t-shirt,
right,
give your tickets away now. Let somebody else that cares about basketball actually go to the game. All right?
Amen.
Now, that being said, the coaching front is something that actually impacts the team, in my opinion. You're okay with them giving this to the 7th grade JV team because you don't think coaching matters, like, at all.
I heard there's a good middle school coach in the Happy Valley area.
Wow, dude.
I heard Nelson's turning their middle school programs around.
You give me $300K, you I'm
do that
gone.
Job. In a heartbeat.
I will listen to you bash me on the air, and I'll drive and I'm like, yeah, well, I don't regret it.
Why did he play Shane last night? What an idiot.
Dude, I'll do a weekly on your show.
Would
I
you?
Promise.
Come
yeah,
on. All
I
right,
would.
Let's
I would.
Do it.
So on the coaching element, I care greatly about this. Most people want him to hire Tiago, but to what the sources say, and I want to read this specifically, here it is. This isn't Russian hockey players who don't speak English in the NBA. Everyone talks to everyone else. He says he didn't make job offers, but it's the narrative that is circulating, and it's wrong. It's bad business. There's another source that says, of all the things reported on Tom, the one thing that is not true is the coaching thing, that he's trying to get someone for $1 million to $1.5 million. It's just not true. He's talked to everybody. And, of course, some coaches he talks to would be less expensive than others. The goal is to find the right person. They also add, Tiago is going to be the leading candidate. People ask, why don't we just give Tiago the job?
Yeah.
That would be the easy thing to do. But ownership wouldn't be doing the team or the fan base justice if other people weren't interviewed. Let's have a process. They then, let me add this part, they went into the who they've talked to. Where is this? I should have noted it. Give me
a
second.
Searching.
Dundon's attempt at a covert search for coaching and general manager candidates have been exposed on a nearly daily basis. His contact with St. Louis coach Josh Schertz at the Final Four and later with Iowa coach Ben McCollum, who I actually really like, have leaked. But then on the front of only offering 1 to 1.5, again, that same source says it's not true. He's also talked with Masai Ujiri,
yes,
Mike Malone,
yes,
and Tom Thibodeau.
What? No.
And this source says what Tom is good at is talking to 100 people and getting data. What he is learning quickly is that, unlike hockey where nobody cares, in basketball, if you talk to 100 people, 70 will tell people.
Yeah, that's the point that I've been trying to make the entire time, is simply, I get why the headlines would concern you. I get why the reports would concern you. What if it doesn't happen? What if he hires
a coach?
I said
this yesterday, and I was just like knocked out of the studio. I'm like, what if he hires a coach for four and a half?
Then what are we saying? What are we saying in the offseason? Is he still cheap? What if he goes and pays a luxury tax this offseason? Is he still El Cheapo? What if he acquires a star player? What if the whole t-shirt thing? What if they have something else in the plans, which, by the way, is in this article
get to that too,
for Friday night?
Is all
that narrative going to go away? I understand that change can be complicated for a lot of people.
Especially when you go from Paul Allen.
Without a doubt. And I think that's some of this that we're learning, that of all the issues I had with Jody, the one thing that was never a problem is, what do you want? I'll pay for it. Because it wasn't her money. And it was a blank check.
I know, we acted like people, like she earned all that money and she just had it in her own bank account.
Like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah, sure. She had no say over what was happening.
Because it was an estate.
Hey, we need this. Sign off on it. Okay. We need this. Sign off on it. Okay. And sometimes you can get a little fat and happy. And when you come in and look at it and say, well, why are we spending all this money on this? I'm the one that now has to pay for it. You're going to start cutting certain things and it's going to frustrate people inside the organization that we'll then run and talk. But that's the one thing that I've tried to say the entire time, especially on the coaching search. I get why the idea would concern you. I don't put it on the pedestal of importance as maybe some other people do, yourself included. Mm-hmm. But what if he pays $4 million for a head coach?
You know, my stance is not the money part. You know that. My stance is, I think coaching is more important in the NBA than maybe you do.
Sure.
I also agree with your, it's the roster more than it is anything else. But culture, relatability, ego,
all
management,
of that stuff is very,
you,
totally agree.
You do have
very
to have
important.
The right person for that. There's very no important. Doubt about that in my mind. And so there is more. On Friday and Sunday's games, t-shirt gates become quite the thing. And then also he talks about the team, the future of the team. Well, he doesn't, but sources close to him and within the organization. This is a really well-sourced thing. Quick did a great job with this. I want to read some of the comments just to see if this calms anybody out there that is externally freaking out. Because, yeah, he is cheap. The entire article is telling you.
He's going to cut corners.
He's cutting corners.
We knew he was going to. But the one area he does not cut corners is where? When it comes to winning.
So we'll talk about that on the other side. 105.1, The Fan. Your thoughts are welcome at The Fan text line. 503-864-6326. It's also a Mail Sack Tuesday. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour.
People keep asking about YouTube. Apologies.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not up today. Yeah, it's all right. It is what it is. We move on. The show goes on.
Oh, Henson. I might just say that to you. I'm sorry. I don't know what
people
I
people asking if you were called Brando.
Oh, Brando. I had Brando, and I don't even have
you
an
didn't
O
even
in
have
my
O
name.
In a middle name?
No.
Yeah, Brando was a big hit with my previous boss. At
so Fox. You be Brando. I'll be Sprague. We were doing the black-white thing, you know, and I think that made some coworkers feel uncomfortable. I didn't really care.
And we got Brando and Sprague.
Hanging out today. So this quick article with about Tom Dundon being a cheapskate, okay? Old Tommy Two Nickels. By the way, on the two-way players not traveling, so remember what I said. He sent, like, basically a memo to the entire org when he bought it of, why are we spending all of this money?
And let's it was cut like, some costs.
Hey, managers in every department, cut costs by whatever it takes, okay? This story is very interesting. In a blurb on the two-way players, in which Sean Hyken had that report, right?
Yes.
The two-way guys, Caleb Love, Chris Youngblood, Jason Kent, not traveling with Portland. What is unclear, according to Jason Quick, is whether it was the omission of three players was an order or done by Joe Cronin.
What?
In response to Dundon's edict to slash expenses, Cronin did not respond to text messages.
Yeah.
I wouldn't either on that story.
No, you're not responding.
But this is what a team source said. Quote, it was a bad look, a horrible look. I think he told the guys, don't waste money. And my guess is that the front office took that really far.
And they thought, hey, you know what's a way we could save some money?
Hey, Tommy.
How about a few less hotel rooms?
Guess who's saving you two nickels?
Look at me, Tommy. Keep me employed here.
I got three guys you don't got to feed.
I'm making daddy happy now.
So we don't even know if Dundon, like, mandated the two-way guys. It might have been more about, like, hey, you know, I'm going
to
do what I can.
That's a very random thing to demand. As an owner, I tend to believe.
Does he even know that those guys would or would not go?
I don't think he would. I think there was an edict to save money. They found a way to save a little bit of money, and then it got back that they weren't there, and we all vilified the owner as if it was his call to come down. Those guys will not go over my dead body.
On the spending front, how about this? If Dundon has made one thing clear in the first month as owner, it's this. He cares more about winning than he does people's opinion. He vows he will spend on the roster. A source said he is already committed to dipping into the salary tax next season to land a star player and has been matter of fact about his disdain for frills, his popularity be damned. One source said, I ought to tell you, I don't think he gives a rat's A what is said about him. Most owners care. They insulate themselves because they care very much about their image and profile. He doesn't give an F. He doesn't even flinch with this stuff.
No. He just wants to win.
He is unapologetic. All he cares about is what is good for the team and what makes the team win, which means he is going to be okay making tough decisions.
Yeah. Nobody has any clue how the future is going to play out and what this will ultimately look like. There's just been a part of me that has rolled my eyes, as concerning as maybe some of the headlines might be, of like, dude, it's been 2 weeks. Can we just take a deep breath and see where this thing falls in the offseason? Like, on the idea of a coaching search, it's important to remind people, like, this idea of it could always get worse from the past ownership if they sold. Like, I will take you back to what happened the last time we hired a general manager. How many people did we interview for that job?
Goose egg. We kept a guy that worked for the guy we didn't like.
We promoted an interim guy because the other guy we had to fire for workplace problems, and then just gave him the job. Cronin has made some good moves. He's made some whiffs. That's going to be the case for every general manager. We personally like him. He's a great dude. Yes. It's been a breath of fresh air from what it was.
Maybe he was the best guy, but they didn't interview anybody.
They never even tried. They didn't sit down with a single other person. They just gave him the job. And so how do you know whether you're hiring the right person or not if you don't interview anybody else for the job? And so this idea of they're looking for cheap coaches, why don't they just give the job to Tiago? And then you read through this and you're like, yeah, he wants to sit down with as many people as possible.
He wants visions.
Part of this is him learning the like landscape of the NBA. And let's talk to a college coach. Let's talk to Mike Malone. Let's talk to Tom Thibodeau. You go through the list and then you could come up with the conclusion maybe it ends up being Tiago.
Did he talk to Masai Ujiri?
Yes. Like, that's the part of it that just like I'm glad that we're leaving no stone unturned in that regard. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to benefit the organization in the long run. And you're just going to have to stomach some of the stuff that, in my opinion, does not impact winning in any way, shape, or form getting cut.
Now, if you caught the first hour of the program, thank you for being such a diehard P1. We appreciate you out there. But my take was, give me the towel on Friday, Sunday. Towels are infinitely better than somebody wearing a shirt over a weird collared shirt. I hate that look.
And 40% of the arena not even wearing it anyways.
If I had a collared shirt, I'd never put that shirt on.
No.
Yeah, you could shame me on the Jumbotron. I ain't doing it. I don't care. On the Friday and Sunday bit, on the T-shirt gate, quote, this is a team source, Tom's point of view was, how do we even get more home court advantage? So he wanted to experiment a little bit with something that could create noise, and 19,000 people are waving something when the Spurs are shooting free throws. That's better than a T-shirt. End quote. Now, look, as I say this at the end of the hour, I would just add, you can hear and read all of these quotes. If you went into today and your take is, Cheapskate Tom, Tommy Two Nickels, I'm worried, this is the death of the franchise, I don't think any of these things are going to change your opinion, because opinion changing is the hardest thing humans have. They don't like to admit if they're wrong. They don't always want to change their thinking. They've literally studied changing somebody's opinion, and it's like the most impossible thing to do.
Yeah.
But if you're going to take all of the hearsay and rumor stuff at face value, but dismiss people around and in it and say, well, they're just posturing to make it look good, I have a, what is wrong with you? How can one thing be true
right,
and the other thing is emphatically,
I believe this
incorrect
sourcing and reporting, but I don't believe this sourcing and reporting.
Because there are sources in here that also just disagree and say he's basically doing stuff that's unprecedented in the league.
Yes, he is.
And it's not landing well with everybody around the league.
It's going to ruffle feathers.
I'd also argue everybody ruffles feathers in that league.
Yes.
Agent relationships and coaches and general managers have been great and deteriorated forever in the league. There are players that don't go to certain franchises that you never hear about because the agent and the GM had a fallout, or the old coach or the current coach and the old player knew a mutual friend and hate each other. You never hear about that stuff.
Right.
He's not the first that's going to ruffle feathers in the league. He's just doing it at a much different level than almost anybody's done since some of the worst owners in the sport. Yeah. Not to say he's worse or he's going to be bad, but he's doing stuff at a very unusual rate.
There's just been a vibe of like the change is uncomfortable. People were worried about the narratives of him coming in, and now whenever you get an example or an opportunity to throw up a story, it's like sharks circling in the water. And you jump at it because it's red meat for the fan base and everybody reacts to it and it sounds great. And again, I don't even know if all that stuff's going to be untrue or true. We'll have to wait and see. The future will give us the answers to these questions. But it has felt very opportunistic in the last couple of weeks of let's just throw as much out there. And anytime you get a glimpse of something, everybody freaks out and there's outrage. And it's, oh my God, the world is falling. This is the worst thing to happen to the organization of all time. And let's just all take a deep breath. And I'm glad that Quick put this out, because when it comes to people who are plugged in with the organization, there's not many more that you put higher on the pedestal than the guy who's been covering the team going all the way back to the Jailblazer era, who's involved with people inside that organization, who's willing to ask hard questions. And so I believe a lot of the reporting, and I think it's a great glimpse into exactly how things are working behind the scenes. And now we wait to get answers on the rest of the offseason of how this will all actually look.
We have a lot to get to in the third and the fourth hour. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday, so get the Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. I just add this. I don't know if you're going to carry it over. If you do, great. But Billy Donovan, it was announced, is stepping away as the Bulls coach. What if Dundon brings Billy Donovan in?
Right. Are we still cheap?
You ain't getting Billy Donovan for $1 million. I'll just say that.
No. And hiring a college coach,
I'm not
coach
saying
is,
they will.
No.
I'm just throwing an idea at you. Like,
yes.
Some of the takes, you got to be careful, man. I know it's a hot take world we live in now, but sometimes allowing perspective and nuance and information to create itself allows for, oh, yeah, so people were freaking out for no reason versus being the person who freaks out before knowing where it or how it happened.
Hey, by the way, we hired a coach for $4 million and we traded for Bam this offseason. Oh, okay, so I guess we're trying to win.
Masseuse would get checkout early, though.
Maybe just, you know, maybe take a deep breath.
Loaded third and 4 hours. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.